Today on Real Radio.
We're talking about a spiritual war that we are involved in. And the Lord has called us to be involved in a war. And you might want to be asking the question, you know, why? Why, if God is the victor and if God is the, you know, the one who has gone before us in the warfare, then, you know, why do we have to war at all? Why doesn't He just hand us the keys of the kingdom and let us walk on in?
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give You my praise. My heart is in Your hands, let me feel Your touch. Lord, I live for Your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Paul's letter to the Ephesians. We're in its final chapter, chapter 6, and in a series within a series called The Christian in Complete Armor. Our focus will be on verse 13, though we'll also take into account its surrounding context in this presentation called Equipped for the War. Here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
The Lord has established the difficulties in the Christian life to cause us to grow in strength and in our Christian character. Now, I have to confess to you, it is somewhat a mystery to me that if we're going to go to heaven, and if we're going to inherit the wonderful glories of eternity, and if God is going to make us perfect the moment we die and get into heaven anyway, why go through all this now? You know, why do we go through it? Wouldn't it be great to just come forward at the crusade or at the service that you were in, and the moment you did and raised your hand and you prayed and accept Christ, you were immediately raptured and you go into the presence of God? No difficulty, no problem, huh? But God doesn't do that. The fact of the matter is, we have to go through difficulties in this life, and we don't like it. It's difficult, but the Bible tells us that our tribulation, our suffering, our trials is something altogether different than those of having no faith at all, those who do not believe. Those people, the people who you and I once were, we were going through trial and tribulation to get us to come to faith in Christ. And that alone, God was working with us. In fact, you and I know right now people in our family that have not yet come to Christ, and they're experiencing difficulties. And you might be praying for them, oh God, deliver them from their ill health, or deliver them from the situation they're in. And quite frankly, God is not going to deliver them from that situation, because He's got some greater plan in mind than our pity for them, our love for them, our concern for them. God's plan is to save them and deliver them into heaven. And it's one of those things where we struggle with even as believers. Oh God, heal them, please. And the Lord might respond back by saying, no, I'm going to use this suffering to save them. And we had an experience like that this week in our family. And where the person has lived some 85 years without Christ, angry at God, angry at the world, angry at people. Everything is everyone else's fault. This person blamed everyone continuously and got into a horrible physical condition, began to bleed, vomiting blood out of the mouth, and lost tremendous amounts of blood. It was a horrible scene. And the other family members were saying, Jack, you know, pray. And I said, well, he's not saved, is he? No, but pray that the pain and all would be. I said, okay, we'll pray that, but we'll pray this first. God, save him and then take away his pain. But save him first. What good is he if you feel great and you wind up missing heaven? And lo and behold, you should have, of course, you'd have it all gone in the hospital room to see this. But what happened was, finally, in all of the torment, suffering, and pain, this old man began to give up. And he said, you know, I can't take this. And a nurse came, and she delivered the gospel to this man, He said yes to Jesus Christ. He repented of his sins. He broke down in tears, made amends with his family, and then the next day he died. The Lord was keeping him alive until the opportunity was presented to him for him to choose Christ. Trials and tribulations, difficulties in life, hardships. The Christian soldier, who we are tonight, we are called by God to not only go through life's difficulties, but we are in fact soldiers of the cross. And so tonight we look at being equipped for the war. And so we're in Ephesians chapter 6, and I'm going to read at verse 10, though we've covered these verses, because tonight we're in verse 13, but we'll read right down to it. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, and against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And here's our text for tonight. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, and I want to insert just this part of verse 14, stand therefore. In our earlier studies, we saw, first of all, three very key aspects to the Christian's warfare. And if you weren't here, you might want to jot them down. The first one is that we saw in verse 11 how we are to fight a spiritual battle. We are, first of all, regarding the spiritual battle that we're in. How do we fight a spiritual battle? Number one, we are to respond by putting on the armor. The second thing we saw last time was that we are to be resisting Satan and his tricks. The third thing that we saw under the spiritual battle is that we are to be reacting in the spirit and not the things of the flesh. And the second point, or the second key aspect to this study, is that we ask the question, what are our enemy's resources? What does the enemy really have? We talked about things regarding the mind and the heart that he plays with us on. He uses things in the world, and he uses things around us. And so we saw the anatomy of spiritual warfare, that it's sinister and that it's dark. And it so often manifests itself in very natural terms or in very natural ways. You may be fighting depression or something like that. You may be going through an unexplainable weakness, and you can't explain it. You're feeling like almost as though blood has been sapped out of you. You're not praying like you know you should be. You don't have the intensity. And so we looked at the anatomy of spiritual warfare. We also saw that the demonic world that wages war against us, the Bible said in verse 12, it's not of this physical realm. It's not of this physical domain that we're so accustomed to and that we can see. And then we also saw that they're not subject to physical attacks. We made mention of the fact that you could detonate a nuclear device right in the presence of spiritual beings, either angelic or fallen angels or demonic, and it wouldn't bother them at all. Though it would annihilate us, the spiritual realm is not affected by physical attack. And that's why God calls us as Christians to wage a war in the spirit. It doesn't help to be equipped in physical means concerning a spiritual battle. And then finally, we saw last time in verse 12, who is our enemy? But in fact, Satan himself and the forces are evil and they are against us. They have an absolute plan and a strategy, we saw, to wage war against us. And by the way, I'd mentioned that if you're not aware of the spiritual battle, that's why I'm wearing this goofball suit, is every time you look up, you would ask the question, you know, that's an army suit. That's a Marine Corps outfit there. Well, it's hot. I'd rather not be wearing this. This is for your benefit, that you look at this and be reminded, we're in a war. Now, some of you are thinking, and some of you know, yes, we are in a war. And some of you don't even know what I'm talking about. You're like, huh? What? Oh, that's for other people, or that's for those who take the Bible literally. Hey, listen, bub. The enemy's got you duped to the max. If he can get you to think that there's no spiritual war at all, You know, you're out there lollygagging around, you're playing with the hand grenades, you're spinning them around, you know, you're looking down the barrel of the gun, playing with the trigger. You're like a kid in a toy store. And the Bible tells us that we need to be awakened to the spiritual realm that's around us. And I know a lot of people don't want to talk about it. In fact, you may be visiting for the first time, and this topic is what we're going through in the book of Ephesians, and you're thinking, I shouldn't have come. I don't want to hear about these things. But listen, there's no need to take that kind of approach, because the Bible tells us greater is He, that is the Holy Spirit, who is in us, than he that is in the world. And that is a great power that the Lord has given us. And then finally, we saw in verse 12 that Satan's workers can often, this is rather shocking, but can often be found in or among the church. That's how Satan launches his attack. And we may mention that one of Jesus' very own disciples was none other than a man possessed by Satan himself, Judas Iscariot. That's a tremendous thing to think about. That in the very ranks of the brand new infant church being born of the Spirit, there was a Judas in the midst. And so tonight we come to this encouraging, I think very encouraging part of Scripture, Ephesians 6, verse 13, where he says, "Therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." If you're taking notes, you ought to jot this down. There are four epistles that Paul wrote, and they're known as his prison epistles, these specific four. Of course, he wrote many others, but these four are the ones that he wrote in prison, and these are the ones that he wrote while he was in Rome, under guard there and under chains. And we understand that Paul was arrested two times after the writing of this book, the book of Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon. Paul was then released, and he ministered again. And then after that, he was arrested for the second time. And of course, he wrote 2 Timothy, in which he loses his life shortly after the writing of that pastoral epistle. But this letter to Ephesians is one that was written by Paul in prison. Now get this. Paul, there in the prison in Rome, he is chained to a Roman guard, a Roman centurion. And he's got his right foot, or it would have been his left, one or the other, we don't know which. But let's say he's got his right foot chained to the left foot of the centurion. He's got his right arm chained to the left arm of the centurion. And they had four-hour shifts. And that centurion would be there for 4 hours, and a new one would come, and they would latch first the arm, then they would take the latch off the foot and then latch it to the man, so that at every moment the prisoner was bound. He was never loosed. Now watch this. Paul is thinking about the Christian in his battle and in his warfare. And he's sitting there. Or he's doing whatever the centurion wants to do. And in a moment of inspiration, the Holy Spirit speaks to him for our benefit and for those of the church. And in that moment, Paul looked over, no doubt, and he saw the centurion, and he might have noticed his feet. He might have noticed his legs, and then his thighs, and his hips, and his chest, and his shoulders, and his arms, his helmet, and his sword, and his shield. And Paul, inspired by the Spirit, began to speak, or to write, by the Spirit of God, concerning the armaments that this soldier was wearing. And Paul gave a tremendous illustration that this is what the Christian ought to be wearing. The whole armor of God. And the centurion was to wear the whole armor of Rome. When that centurion was suited up for battle, he was equipped for every bit, listen carefully, every bit of battle that the Roman government guaranteed him to be involved in. I'll say that again. The Roman government equipped their centurions, their soldiers, to be fully equipped from head to toe for any or every battle that they were to be involved in. Rome was committed to warfare. Daniel, in his ancient prophecies, Daniel spoke about the Roman Empire coming, and he said it would be more fierce than all of the preceding kingdoms, in that it would crush into pieces the remaining kingdoms of the earth. And that, we know, of course, is the Roman Empire. So they really knew how to wage a good warfare. And a centurion was incredibly equipped to fight the fight. And so tonight we look at this concerning being equipped for the war. We see in our first point in verse 13 that the believer's response is a call to war. As a Christian, as a believer, we are called to war. And there's no way around it. Believers are called to war. He says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God. And you know what the word therefore, remember last week, therefore, remember what we said? Were you here? Therefore, remember, you got to ask the question what it's there for. That's what that therefore means. In light of everything that he's been saying, now, from verses 10 to 12, because what was said, because of it, or you can insert the word therefore, you can put because we are now to take up the whole armor of God. So it's calling us, or the word of God is calling us to stand at attention and to be suited with this wonderful apparel for the war. And by the way, you might be thinking, well, what for? The Bible tells us that we are in a battle and that heaven and hell is pulling from each end. The earth is caught in the middle. The great battle is over our souls. We made mention to you before that Satan has already been judged. He's going to hell. He's going to be bound and cast into the lake of fire. And you might ask the question, why doesn't he just give up? Sounds good to me. But the fact of the matter is, Satan knows that what he can do now, even in his judged condition, is that he can inflict pain in the heart of God by messing up the hearts and the minds and the lives of God's creation, of God's people. And it breaks the heart of God. The Bible tells us that God weeps over the death of the wicked. The Bible says that God takes no pleasure in the death of those who do not know him. God weeps over those who are lost. And Satan loves it. But the next move that Satan would try to perpetrate is upon us. If we're a Christian, he wants to cause us to be wrapped in our grave cloth, so to speak, or sterilized as a believer so that we're not effective. And so a lot of Christians today are just not doing anything at all because they've been quenched by fear. They're not believing the promises of God. And so the enemy will come along like a Halloween child in a mask dressed up at the door, and grandma opens the door and they go, boo! Well, it's just a little child, but he's got this Freddy Krueger mask on, you know? And grandma jumps back. Well, the enemy comes to the Christian like that, and we have no need to fear. We have no need to cower from his attack. And yet believers do. We all do. And we shouldn't do this. But he'll come and he'll try his tactics to spook us into being timid and being afraid. So to be equipped for the war is to realize that the believer's response is, in fact, a call to war. And it's a great call at that. When he says, therefore, take up, this word take up is an interesting word. It means to pick up and literally put upon. And it means to continue to hold on to it. Listen, not hold on to it in a sense that it's going to run away from you, but to hold on to it and that you keep putting it on. The enemy is to have this attack going against us because he's under orders. We are under orders now. The Bible tells us to take up the armor of God. And as we put it on, we are to keep it on. We are to stay equipped. We are to stay prepared for war. And so this word to take up is an interesting thing because it simply means to receive it. God puts it out there, and what's our responsibility? To receive it. Well, what part of it? What does it say in your Bible? Therefore, take up some of the armor of God and get shot right in the heart. Therefore, take some of the armor and get shot right in the head, eye, anywhere. Interesting, Rome never equipped their soldiers with armament in the rear. Your hinder parts were wide open, buddy. Because Rome taught their soldiers to never turn your back. You die before you turn your back. And so they naturally left them uncovered in the rear. You don't turn and run. Having the armor of God is to be covered in His power because we are to what? Advance. And if we are not advancing, now there comes a time when we stand still, and we'll come to this in a moment. That's okay. In fact, sometimes we're commanded to stand still. We are either standing still or we are advancing. But if we are sliding back, we are vulnerable to the attack of the enemy. We'll come to this in a little bit. That's how we backslide, and that's how often when we backslide, we get further away from God, because then we're exposed to the enemy's fiery darts. But the fact of the matter is, Satan is against us. And I love how Paul is doing this, because he's taken the Roman centurion illustration before him, and also he's writing the letter to who? The church at Ephesus, the Ephesians. And it's interesting to note that the gods that were worshipped at the city of Ephesus and in that region, they taught and they believed that if you appeased the various gods that they worshipped at Ephesus, that he would reward the worshiper with armament. Isn't that interesting? I found that interesting when I read that. So Paul, being culturally sensitive and also looking at the illustration next to him, writes this wonderful thing that we are to be girded about and strengthened and put in upon the armor of God. And at the same time, the church at Ephesians would have received this letter knowing that they had come out of a pagan world that taught that if you followed the pagan gods, they would equip you in defense of this life. And what Paul is saying is that when you follow the God of heaven, you will be equipped with all of the implements of war necessary for victory. And I thought that was a brilliant stroke, and of course the work of the Holy Spirit in Paul's life. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 8, the Bible says, "But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and of love, and as a helmet the hope of our salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath," and that word wrath is judgment and destruction, "but has positioned us to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ." So we are wearing our armament as Christians tonight because we have salvation as a goal. We have victory in mind. We're not going to lose. The church will succeed. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1 and verse 7, it says, "We then, as workers together with him, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain." That is the gift that God's giving, or the implements of war in this context that God is giving. God is giving out the armament. Paul says to the church at Corinth, don't receive it in vain. We're to take it up. And verse 7 says, "By the word of truth, by the power of God, and by the armor of righteousness, on the right hand and on the left." So we're fully equipped as believers. We're equipped for the war. I want you to see that we are not to leave anything undone. We shouldn't leave a thing undone. When he says the whole armor of God, he means every bit of armor. The word "whole" in the Greek is where we get the word plethora, a great amount, an amount that circles us completely. The armament of God that is available to us tonight will cover us completely for every bit of warfare that is to come into our lives.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called Equipped for the War. It's part of a mini-series taken from Ephesians 6 and, of course, other passages called The Christian in Complete Armor. We'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio with more. Remember, our task here at Real Radio is to equip you with all that is necessary for your growth as a true believer, which is precisely why we offer a variety of outreaches, missions, and means of equipping, like the recent Southern California Prophecy Conference here at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. If you were here for the conference, you know that it was beyond standing room only much of the time. If you were not here, visit us at realradioactive.org and learn how to get the media and print materials from the event, the Southern California Prophecy Conference, subtitled Finding Hope in the Global Crisis. Again, realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine. amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.